Blog Talk Radio.
Get radio in the background.
Thanking everyone for spending the time this morning, you finding it not robbery to join this morning in God's Word. This morning's message will be coming from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, starting at the 22nd verse, going through the 28th. And it reads as follows. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaks." But he said, "I will not let go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." And he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed." The title of my message this morning is, "I've come too far to give up now." Oh, gracious and everlasting Father God, touch us this morning and we shall be touched. Guide me this morning that I may help some father's child, some mother's boy. Use me, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, before we can really understand the importance of Jacob's wrestling match, we should look at his life up to this point. Jacob was the son of Isaac and Rebekah and the grandson of Abraham, whom God promised to make a father of many nations. Jacob had a twin brother, Esau, who was the firstborn. But Jacob grabbed him by the heel during their birth. The name Jacob means to grab another's heel. Literally speaking, it means to take what belongs to someone else. When Jacob and Esau were grown, Jacob tricked his brother out of his birthright with a meal. Later, Rebekah conspired with Jacob to trick Isaac and steal Esau's blessing. This resulted in Esau wanting to kill his younger brother. So Jacob fled. Now Jacob has run to his mother's homeland. When Jacob reached Haran, he meets his match and his uncle Laban. Although Jacob is in love with Laban's younger daughter, Rachel, he is tricked into marrying his older sister, Leah. Later, Jacob was able to marry the object of his affection. And after many years of working for Laban, because of God's protection and Jacob's wit, he had a large herd and riches for himself. Then God directed Jacob to return to the land of his father. The problem is that he now has to face Esau. Will his brother's rage still burn after all these years? And as he approaches home, Jacob, he sends messengers to Esau. They return to tell him that Esau is approaching with 400 men. Things don't look good for Jacob. So Jacob divides his people and possessions and sends them across the river. Jacob stays behind to pray. See, it's praying time. It's at that point he encountered a man that he wrestles throughout the night. See, Jacob had been struggling all his life. Even at the moment of his birth, he was struggling with Esau. Later, he struggled with Laban. Yet right before meeting Esau, Jacob had the struggle of his life. He who had once grasped his brother's heel now clung to the bodily form of the living God. Some believe that the man who wrestled Jacob was the pre-incarnated Jesus Christ. Others believe the man was the angel of God. In any case, Jacob wrestled with a manifestation of God. And because of God's mercy, he survived. See, he did not prevail, as it says in 25 and 26. The man could not turn Jacob away from the struggle, even though he could have easily defeated Jacob. The Hebrew verb translated touch refers to God's special touch, as when God touches the earth or the human heart. Here, God's touch caused pain. Yet Jacob would not give up. He would not release the man. He would not release God until he received a blessing. See, Jacob was guilty of what he had did to Esau. He knew he was wrong. He knew his survival was dependent upon his brother's forgiveness of his wrongdoing. Jacob had no control over his brother's heart, but he knew there was one who did, our Lord and Savior. Sometimes we can see ourselves in Jacob. Maybe not in that magnitude. It may be just trials or tribulations alone. See, trials and tribulation that make you just want to hold on to God's unchanging hand. See, God told Jacob, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." See, I can relate to Jacob. I can imagine Jacob saying, I've come too far to give up now. I need you to bless me, Lord. See, through all of our struggles, through all of our ups, through all of our downs, we need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on until he blesses us. See, we all go through problems in our lives. Be it a turning point. Be it something that we know we did wrong, something that we know we could have done better, something that we struggle with or wrestle with every day. Be it an addiction. Be it health. Be it in your mind. We all struggle at one point or another in our lives. We go through problems. Sometimes we have to shed tears. But the one thing that is not going to change, we realize we've come too far to give up now. I know you said in your word, Lord, that weeping may endure for a night, but I'm not going to give up. I'm going to hold on to you, Lord. You're all that I know. I've come too far to give up now. I sit back and I think about all the stumbling blocks in our lives and the rocks that we've had to climb over. There's been times our bodies ache so bad that we didn't know who to turn to. But we're going to hold on to you, Father. You see, we know you'll give us the strength to climb a little further. We're going to hold on until you bless us, Lord. We can't give up now. I find myself standing in the middle of the road in my life from time to time, and we all stand there. You know, when we sit in our chairs in our home after a long day in our homes and you don't know whether to answer the phone when it rings, because as soon as you do, there's confusion, there's misunderstanding. And if it isn't one thing, it's another. And all you hear is, this one is sick, or this one is in the hospital. You don't hear good news anymore. And you start to look at your burdens in your life that you have to get over. It's like one hill after another, and you don't know if you have the strength to keep on going. Then we think about all the hills that the Lord has brought us over in our lives. Psalms 118:14 says, the Lord is my strength and my salvation. I'm going to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We've come too far to give up now. Regardless of the changes in our lives, I'm holding on to God's unchanging hand. He's been the rock of our salvation. He's been our leaning post, our bridge over troubled waters. We're going to hold on. We're going to hold on to him. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all you who are labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Burdens may wrestle with us sometimes, but he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll find rest for your soul. See, one of these days, it won't be long, we'll get to see his face. I can imagine if I get to look on his face with tears streaming down my eyes. All I want to say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for giving us the strength just to hold on a little while longer. Thank you for giving us the strength to hold on until you bless. All the times in my life I didn't know which way to turn, and you directed my path. Thank you, Jesus. I know I called on you all the time, Jesus, but you never gave up on me. Thank you, Jesus. When I was on the side of the road in my life, you picked me up and started me on my way. Thank you, Jesus. Every time I cried, you wiped the tears from the wells of mine eyes. Thank you, Jesus. For every time I thought I was on the end, you allowed my time to roll on just a little while longer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving me the strength to hold on to your unchanging hand. There's a name above every name, that sweet name of Jesus. The 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. See, that's power in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. A name that every knee shall bow, a white knee, a black knee, a yellow knee, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. The name that's behind your name, the name of Jesus. See, we were bought with a price. They hung an old rugged cross on the back of our Lord and our Savior. He walked Golgotha's hill, and they hung him high, and they stretched him wide. When he put his chin in between the locks of his shoulders and gave up the ghost after everything that he had done, he had healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. He had walked on water and told storms to cease. After everything he had done, from healing multitudes and to feeding 5,000 to raising the dead, everything that he had done, they were crucifying my Lord. They whipped him until blood dripped from his bones and his body. And when he locked his chin in between his shoulders, everyone and everything was in disbelief. The clouds cried tears. The earth shook in disbelief. The dead had to get up and see for themselves, for they did not believe. Darkness covered the sun, so it wouldn't have to see him sitting on the cross. See, the price that was paid for us to be called children of God. So every time we pick up our feet and put them back down, we do it with a purpose. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Call on the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Exodus 9:16 says, but indeed, for this purpose, I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. There's power in the name of Jesus. Hold on just a little while longer. When you feel weak or you feel tired, Psalms 62:11 says, God has spoken once, Twice I have heard this, that power belongs to God. Psalm 68:35 says, the God of Israel gives strength and power to his people. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to him until he blesses me. Be like Jacob. When we get sick and we just can't seem to get well, Luke 6:19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him. The power went out from him and healed them all. See, there's power in the name. The Bible says, man must always pray. See, we need to call on the name of Jesus. We need to sit back and trust in his word. We need to hold on to him just a little while longer. Hold on to him until he bless you. I want to pray until it's like the words about the woman with the issue of blood. I want to pray until the Lord says, who touched me? You see, when we call on the name of Jesus, give him the praise. Give him his honor and give him his glory. There's power in the name of Jesus, that one that you're holding on to. Praise him in the good days and praise him in the bad. Praise him in the storms, praise him in the rain. Psalm 150 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals and praise him with the clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Trust in God, unchanging hand. Just trust him. Believe him. He'll never let you down. He's a lawyer that's never lost the case. He's a doctor that's never lost a patient. Just hold on to him until he blesses you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. God, our Lord, and I was saved. The Bible says in his word that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. My Lord, my Lord, all you have to do is trust and believe in our Savior. And if you're not sure how to call on him, if you're not sure who to hold on to, if you don't know how to go in your secret closet, if you don't know what to do, if there's one out there that you're confused, and you're going through some things in your life and challenges, the trials, the tribulations. You're at that turning point in your life. You're at that crossroads in your life. And you don't know how to find Jesus. All you have to do is believe. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. See, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him may be saved. All you have to do is believe. Glory be to God. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Let all the saints of God say amen, amen. Thank you for this morning. Thank you, Apostle Mercer and the Fivefold Ministry. Bless God.
God bless you, Reverend Lucas. Will you give us a prayer this morning?
Oh, gracious and everlasting Father, God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this morning's rising, Father God. For you didn't have to bless us all, but you did. You found it not robbery just to touch our hearts one more time to keep it in rhythm, Lord. And Lord, although we all go through our ups and our downs in life, our trials and our tribulations, Lord, keep us in the hollow of your heart. Help us, Lord, and we shall be helped. Keep us, Lord, and we shall be kept. Bless us, Lord, with your grace and your mercy. Watch over Apostle Mercer, Father God. Guide her and continue to use her in your manifestation, in your power. Give her the strength to keep on keeping on, Lord. Watch over each and every one of us, for we need thee in our lives right now, Father God, right now, Lord. From the lost in the street to the lost in the darkness, from the sun rising into the setting of the sun, we need you, Father, right now. Hold us, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. I pray. Amen, amen, amen again. Be blessed.
Bye.
Yes, their rod and the staff, they comfort me. God bless you again. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. God bless you all over the world and happy holidays to you. If you would like to get in touch with us, it's ffmw.inc@verizon.net. F like five, F like fold, M like ministries, W like worldwide, .inc, I-N-C, at Verizon.net. This is also our disclaimer that the music that you hear that we play on the Fivefold Ministry, it belongs to the artist. We are here to promote those sounds, encourage you to get those CDs, but they have the rights to their own music. We are here just to glorify God and to give him the praise and give him the honor. Let us sit back now, as always said, let us go into the inner courts where we are on one accord and go behind the veil so that we can be overshadowed with the Holy Spirit. God bless you again. You are listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. Amen. Amen, and God bless you again. God bless you. I was trying to pull up a very, very special video, and I see here that I do not have it, but I want to bring something to your attention. I noticed that all over the world, everyone is getting ready or celebrating the holidays for their particular country. God bless you again for that. I want to bring your attention, especially to the Western culture. This is our special time, or we call it our Christmas season. We just got off celebrating our Thanksgiving period. So we want you to just hear some of the tidbits that I have this morning. I was looking over my internet and looking at different preachers. And I want to say to all of you, I thank you so much and God bless you that the spirit of the holidays, where you could just see the hope and the love and encouragement, especially in my state, it seems like it's coming back in the air. Truly, we need the support and love of each other. I noticed in looking over the internet as well as doing my research that it appears that all of the pastors are speaking about the most important thing during a holiday, which is the birth of Christ. Majority of them said they do not know the day or the hour or the month that Christ was born, but the most important thing that Christ was born for us. I'll say it again. The most important thing for the holiday, which is not a debate, that Christ was born for us. Yes, he was. And God bless you. As we get into some of our little series now, we just want to tell you, God bless you again, and let us behold that Lamb, because truly, if it wasn't for the Lamb of God who died for us, where would we be? God bless you. Let us listen to Tamela Mann and behold the Lamb. Amen.
Oh,
Yes, the songwriter says that he will wash away your sin. Yes, he will. God bless you again. As I said earlier, and looking over the news, I noticed that different countries are in the midst of planning for this holy event. I received a call from my evangelist in Jamaica, and it's one of the sacred holidays in that particular nation and region of people, and that preparations are being planned as well as this United States and England. I want to say to you, to all of our listeners, to stay focused on what's important. And I want to go over a little bit of, I had spoke on the importance of Christmas or the Christmas season, or as I call it, the Christmas tree. I did a broadcast a couple of nights back. And I just want to highlight some of those points for those of you who may have missed that program. You know, when I looked at the research, and I asked everybody to get a pen, the most important research I got was from the genealogy.com, ancestor.com, where you can even type in the origin of the Christmas tree or the tree itself or the origin of Christmas. How it all came about, especially in this Western culture. It was very interesting. Again, it's called thegenealogy.com, or genealogy.com, rather. And in looking at that particular story, it showed me that in the Western culture, even before Reformation, even during the time of Martin Luther, and before then, that how the tree really originated, how this Western culture decided to celebrate it, as well as the story and the birth of Christ. It is so very important that everyone, especially here in the United States, that we have a freedom of religion, a freedom of speech, and we're able to have laws that govern us to decide what is important for our lives, that what is it that we want to do. And hopefully it is lined up with the Word of God to follow His commandments and His laws. One of the things that, as you see, that really, for lack of a better word, that wasn't in man's favor from the Old Testament was idolatry. I'll say it again, that idolatry, or things that has substitute the place and worship of God and the focus of God is not on glorifying Him, or idols or things that are made or that is developed or said or even made to represent something outside that story of the Old Testament and New Testament and our Lord and our Savior. That is idolatry. That is against God. And when I looked at this particular focus, because my focal point was on the Christmas season as well as the Christmas tree, that according to looking up the different definitions, the controversy was around the birth of Christ for those theologians or those persons who was more concerned about the factual data than the importance of the birth of God. Some of them said when Jesus was born, to start the story off, that there was no room in an inn. Isn't it ironic that people going to worry about where Jesus was born? Was it in the inn? Was it in a field? Was it in a house? The controversy or debate is about the location and place where this glory child, this child that's redeeming our blood, the child that has died for us on the cross, we worry about where he's born. You know, it's sad that even when he was a child, that people said to him, isn't this Mary's son? Isn't this the carpenter's son? He was always examined and scrutinized because of who he was and his birth. But, you know, I looked at the thing that I said, God, you know, I'm listening to, I heard a preacher say that it wasn't an inn that he was born in. I mean, it wasn't a tavern, but it was an inn. And I thought that was so strange because back during that historical time, that inn was not only a place for people to sleep, a place for them to eat, but a place for them to drink. Or as we say, get drunk or have a good time. So So I think the sacredness of Christ's birth being born in a barn or a stable, being separated from sin and men or those who was rowdy or those who was in and out in a place that was not holy or sanctified or separated. I thank God that he had the wisdom not to touch the innkeeper's heart and had him to be born where people could pollute the very holiness of Christ's birth. God forbid. You know, I think it's so strange. I was listening to people, and it was only maybe one or two that talked about the birthplace, and they lost focus that it's not so much the birthplace, but it is the birth. I say it again. I want all my listeners to know that the most important thing in any of these stories in reference to the birth of Jesus Christ is that he was born. Whether he's born in a field, born in the inn, born in a stable, wherever, that God was born for you and I. And that is the miraculous thing, not so much the location or the hour. You know, I thank God for that, that, you know, I thought that was so cool that they said that he was born in a barn with animals. He was separated, and they had time to really see the holiness of God, the presence of God, and the angels of God. Another debate that I hear theologians or men, they're worrying about, you know, some say that the three wise men was there that night. Some say, no, he was. They saw him when he was 2 years old. Listen to this now. You have grown men, astrologers or theologians or scientists, are trying to say that people who recognize that Christ was born, that some was there when he was born at birth, and some was there when he was 2 years old. God forbid. Who cares when they saw Christ? The most important thing is that they saw Christ. I'll say it again, that if they ran upon the Christ child, whether he was born 2 years old, 5 or 10, that is the most important thing. You know, so many people have negativity to say that they're now the grand spokesperson for God, that this is what God wants, this is what we should live, and this is what we should think. Read the Bible for yourself. Examine it for yourself, and let the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and spiritual truth. As I said in my message, that here in the United States, the celebration of Christmas for family to take time to stop that work and to reflect on family socialization, having time to come together in a holiday fashion, whether it's Thanksgiving, which we call eating the turkey, or whether it's Christmas where we're gathered around an ornament or decoration, not an idol of a tree, but to be there with family and to worship the birth of our Lord. To me, that is the most important thing. As I said to you before, that I watched through the years, not only for myself as a child to be proud of a family, there are so many people that I've noticed that they have chose to do different things on different holidays. But it's sad when you look at the little children, and because it's customary in the Western culture to get a little gift or to get a little dinner treat or a little pat on the head or to come with family, that they feel neglected. I will encourage all my listeners that listen all over the world, give someone a hug. If you're able to give the children a little pat on the head and compliment, if you're able to buy a gift, do it. And if you're able to spend time with family, do it. Have we not suffered enough with COVID? Have many of our loved ones and friends we've heard have died behind diseases and plagues, especially this COVID virus? And people are still getting sick going in the hospital, God forbid. To show love and to be able to fellowship one with another, to have the greatest gift of all, to have life in your body and to breathe air without a mask, that's what's important. You know, when people lose focus on the things of God and deal with the logic or the factual data that's written, they wasn't there 2,000 years ago. They don't know if the books are really that accurate. And far as I have heard, that there are different scrolls that are taken to the Vatican or to the Rome, and that there are different records that man have not been privileged to see. So we have to go by what we have, which is the Bible, which is for our blueprint for living. But when we become an authoritarian on the word and be God's spokesperson, his word speaks for itself. Everybody have an idea how the word should be enounced, pronounced. Everybody have decided that this is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You should do this and you shouldn't do that. I would say to all my listeners, read it for yourself. Let the Holy Ghost guide you. Follow the Ten Commandments and get away from sin. And for those theologians, do not worship a Christmas tree because they call it idolatry. For me, I don't worship a Christmas tree. It is a decoration. It is an ornament. It is a reminder of the good times I had with my family. As I said before, that as an orphan and a foster child, that my mom and father died, and I was left without any type of family connection at all, except for on my aunt's side that I was able to call her children to say hi now and then. But I didn't have the privilege to sit down with cousins and uncles and sisters and brothers and all the immediate family that I became that black sheep. So to see others who have suffered setbacks, loneliness, heartache, to see them be able to sit around the table and to fellowship and be thankful that they have seen another year and have a meal together and call it a thankful meal to God or a Thanksgiving. We are grateful. You know, it's not so much that whatever the story is behind it, but it is the fellowship is what's important. I've never seen, not in this particular age of time, that any of us has sat down and ate turkey or pie, and we talk about the origin of how Thanksgiving started, and we talked about the pilgrims coming to the United States. I've been around here many a years. The only thing we talk about is sweet potato pie, candy yams, potato salad, the turkey or the ham. We don't go into historical significance of why the day is called Thanksgiving. All we know is that we are grateful to be alive with family, and it is thankful with a Thanksgiving. God bless you. Another thing that I mentioned in my story, I mentioned about how I have worked as a social worker. And to see 6,000 children at that time committed to a system of foster care, that it was so very important for them to go see a family. It was so very important for them to be able, especially during a Christmas holiday where it's such an excitement of joy to be able to see their moms or their father, their sister, brother, that it was a special time. And to see that little tree with a gift, it was such an excitement for children. So, you know, you have to look at what is people's reasons for the things that they do. You know, a lot of people, when you look at Jeremiah and they talked about how they used to take this particular tree and put silver and gold, when it got to the point that it became an idol, where it became like a golden calf, where it became like a statue or something that is to be honored other than God, that's when it was sinful. I'll say it again. When you take anything, image, picture, statue, or any carved image, and you have put the focus on it rather than God, then that's when it becomes sinful, and that's when God said it's idolatry, that they're worshiping idols instead of him. You know, I've seen this one particular preacher. I mean, you would think that he is the very only spokesperson for God, that God don't have any other prophets or preachers or teachers or pastors around this world who can rightly divide the word of truth and to say the laws of God and what God is saying to his people. You would think he's the only one. And he shouted from the very top of his lungs to talk about the Christmas tree. Well, I want to say to you, as I said in that message on Friday, they are small children that look forward to just being there. That's their little special time. There's elderly people in the nursing home that sit there and remember those holidays that they had with family before they was confined to a senior citizen home where no one's show them love, to see that lights on the tree or to be able to sit down and have that Thanksgiving dinner. is so very important. You know, I'm sure there's many loved ones who can remember that grandma has gone on and father has gone on. They can remember the times of the holidays that they spent, the memories of loved ones that have even died due to diseases and COVID. Or you look at those who've been displaced around this world. I've been to Russia. I've been to Ukraine. Such a very, very sweet, sweet group of people. And everything they did, they showed was in love and simplicity, that they marveled even if you had a little glitter in your blouse and or you had a little ornament on, that they just thought it was so pretty because they were just simple, everyday people that loved the Lord. I saw a picture one time that a man as well as a woman walked in front of an army tank to say stop the war. So to many and many of people, it is so very special that peace abide all over this world and nation, and that you hear wars and rumors of wars, and that people's very existence are being threatened. You know, when you're worrying about a war coming, you're not going to worry about the location of where Christ was born. You're not going to worry about, you know, is this tree sinful because I'm using it as decorations for my house. What you're going to worry about is the call out to Jesus, say, Lord, help me and save me so that I don't lose my life and see another day. I want to say to all you all to wake up, folks. It's very important. For those of you who's worried about the theological or factual data that man has written 1,002 years ago, thousand years ago historically, what's important? Only thing I know is that Christ was born. He is the Son of God. He is God created in the flesh. He walked among us to give us eternal life, to show us a better way, and to save what God wants for us. Please do not focus on anything else except the death, the birth of Christ, his death on Calvary, that he died for all of us. He is the repair of the breach, our relationship back to God, and now he is resurrected and sits on the right hand of the Father. I'll say it again, that our God sits on the right hand of the Father, and that he said and he knows the difference between what is decoration, ornament, which is idol worship, or the focus of his love has gone in a different direction. I'll say it again. The great God that I serve is an intelligent God. He will judge all of us according to our sins, our acceptance of Christ, and what we are doing day by day to worship, to love, and to obey him. I thank God that when I look at my family and friends and children, when I look at the different cities here in the Western culture that people are excited, you know, I think about how that is such a special time. We are so blessed here in America that we can celebrate holidays, that we can have a time off for work, that we're able to just decide the schools we want to go to. Now that we're able to have integration, that we're able to decide where we want to live and where, you know, to have an opportunity to be in a free America with constitutions and laws. I've been around this world. It's very sad when one house can have lights on and another one can't. It's very sad that if you don't have the wealth of the nation, you're not privileged to even have heat in your home. You're not privileged to eat at food and be able to deal with a roof over your head. That it is so very important, I'm sure, to those people that even live out on the farm to be able to take care of themselves, that their focus is surviving. They're thanking the God that they serve. And I thank God for my country roots, that our focus was on the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega. I would say to those that's in this Western culture, this Western hemisphere of the world, that your focus should be on the death, burial, and resurrection. You know, not, you know, be so concerned about every little factual data, that just to know that Christ was born, he died for you, and now he's making intercession and praying and making petition for you. You have the victory. For me, as I said, that this Christmas holiday and season, when I have my little ornaments or decorations or whatever you want to call it, even put up a light. Like I read about Martin Luther, he used to put candles on the tree, and he would use that as well to teach his kids in reference to that special time. But for me, I think about my dead mother, my deceased mother, who has gone on, the good times that we had, the different sweet potato pies and the macaroni and cheese and collard greens and the glazed ham, all of those foods that she prepared as we sat there and just enjoyed each other. We looked at the little figurines of Christ being born in a manger as well as with his mom and dad. We wasn't concerned about if it was wooden or metal. We didn't care about if the three wise men saw him when he was born or 2 years later. We didn't even worry about any of that other stuff. And we sure did not celebrate no Santa Claus or no a reindeer with a red nose. You know, read the scriptures for yourself. It is a very sacred time. You can look at Leviticus. You can look at Matthews. You can look in all of those stories where they talked about the birth of Christ. I want to say to you that it is very, very important. What God wants is for you to have accepted his son who died for you. What God wants is for you to treat each other as you treat yourselves, to treat each other in love and to be able to be respectful. You know, when you can't say stuff out your mouth right and you be disrespectful, you know, that's accountable, especially if you're a leader or especially how you treat each other, your mother, your father. It even talks about it in scriptures. If you want your days long, you know, you got to respect your elders. You know, what comes out your mouth is very important. And to be able to treat others as you want to be treated. It is sad when you see people bashing the different people, even their culture and belief. It is very bad. I thank God for my upbringing, and I will share this with you. I was lucky enough when I was born to be born in a neighborhood where it was all groups of people. First of all, I had a friend that was Catholic, of the Catholic faith. She took me to the cathedral where they had a pope at the time, and I watched how that those different customs that they had, that they gave reverence to the different apostles of God that was mentioned in the Bible, like Mark, Luke, John, and to them Mary was a saint. And I saw how they took their communion. I was just in awe that they even gave respect to the leaders that they believed were in the Bible. But I did not criticize their religion or their belief. That what I was just in marvel is that at least that they had an idea of worshiping God. Maybe it could have been in error with other religions, but the beautiful thing is that they were in fellowship together and opening the Bible and worship God. A lot of people have traditions with different religions. I had a friend that was a Muslim, and she was of the Muslim faith. One of the things that I wanted to go to, she wanted to go to Mecca, to go to the wall of worship. And this was an annual event that was the most important thing to her. And I saw even how they showed the different ones wailing at the wall, you know, wailing, to God and to give him umbrage. And I love how she had covered her head. And the most beautiful thing to me in looking at the Muslim faith is that they pray 4 or 5 times a day. I thought that was so unique because I looked at it compared to other religions. And she would carry her little prayer blanket wherever we went. It was tied to her. And she would stop if it's breakfast, lunch, evening, dinner, school, playground. At a certain time, she would do unified prayer with those who was of the Muslim faith. We could be out in the playground that she would find time to go and pray. And I thought that was so cool in her particular religion. I met those who was of Jehovah faith, that they said Jehovah only. And we read the Watchtower. I went to the Kingdom Hall, and I listened to the doctrine. And I thought it was so cool that if anything else, they remember the name of the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega, that his name is Jehovah. I didn't knock any of her religion. I thought it was so good that they did not celebrate holidays or anything like that. You know, it was day in and day out, and they would read their Good News or the Watchtower, the Kingdom Hall. We would visit, and they would say, Jehovah is his name. Hallelujah. I thought it was so cool. I watched those who was of a Baptist faith, and I went to their church, and they deal with foundation, tradition, and structures according to the Word of God. And I watched how the order of religion, how it played, that this is the order of how a service or even a ceremony or even down to a sermon, this is how it should be done. And I thought it was cool, you know, that they came in at such a, excuse me, they came in such an orderly fashion, or they did things accordingly. And I didn't knock their faith. You know, I went to the apostolic churches. I thank God for them that I found out that it was Jesus only. I love it. They did praise and worship a lot, and they showed me what I say to get into the inner courts. When you get into the inner courts, it's a combination of when you are just focusing on God, when you just totally surrender and you just give it over to God, that they just worship God in the apostolic faith, and they just said, in Jesus' name. They was quick for saying, in Jesus' name. They believe in the death and burial of Christ, that the blood of Calvary was so important, and I enjoyed the worship. One thing about the apostolic, if they feel that God is moving in a different direction or the Holy Ghost want more praise or they feel the presence of God, they did not worry about the order of a service. They would stop the service, no more sick and shut-in announcement, no more daily announcement, no more announcement through the week that it was over. The church service would move in a different direction, and they would worship and glorify God. I loved it that the pastor would put on a program. He would say that this service is subject to change by the leading of the Holy Ghost. That the structure of the service is going to change by the leading of the Holy Ghost. I enjoyed them, and that's how I learned about going into the inner courts, because with them, it's a type of worship in Jesus' name that they go all in and wouldn't stop praising God. That's what it was like. I guess David experienced that when he was out there praising God, and they said that he praised God so much that his clothes fell off. That he just worshiped and praised him. When you get to that point that you just worshiping God and your mind is on nothing else but to glorify God, that's when you're in the inner courts. And then what I call behind the veil, I went to the Pentecostal churches, and there I was able to be privileged to see the move of God, where they spoke in tongues and they believe in the gifts and the fruits of the Spirit. And they believed to consecration, to lay hands, to pour oil, and they spoke in tongues like on the day of Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And truly, that the holiness people will go, as they said, into the behind the veil and get the outpouring. It is so very nice as I looked at the different ones in my neighborhood who had different religious beliefs. And the main thing is that we lived in peace. We lived in harmony. I never had them argue about my religion or your religion. Everyone respected each one. If you was a Muslim, you was free to walk down the street. If you was of a Catholic faith, you could hear them ringing the bells at certain time. And then if you was apostolic or even Pentecostal, people was walking to the service. You didn't hear a bait was it a tree or was it a branch? Was it when he was born, or did the three wise men see him, or was he 2 years old? People did not have time to deal with logistics. They were not concerned about all the factual data as far as it was written, and they wasn't there 1,002 years ago. They can only go by the teaching and guidance of the Holy Ghost. They was concerned about worship. They was concerned about giving God the glory, his due respect. And by any means necessary, whatever their religious belief or faith it was, that's what they did. we did not have that the wars and controversy of looking at pastors today, all these great debates and all of this other stuff. But it was so rewarding. It was so rewarding to just to be able to go into anybody's house and to be welcome and to be respected. Let me say something to you again, that God watches what come out your mouth. We don't have a right to bash, to curse at, to disrespect, to ridicule, to speak out of terms, to say that this is that they are, you know, not doing the things that they should do. When we didn't wake them up in the morning, we don't have a heaven or hell to put them in. I once heard a preacher say to someone else that their religion was so Baptist, so backwards. Those people are there are crazy. You know, that's a bad thing to say. When you're going to tell somebody else that what they believe in makes them crazy because that is their faith, that is their belief, that is what they born in. Who are you? God said, judge ye not that you not be judged. And you know the bad thing about it, the same preacher that tried to say somebody was crazy, would you believe that he was going to a psychiatrist? Would you believe that he was in counseling for his mental state? Come on now. Isn't it ironic? You hear somebody say, that person over there crazy, but yet they the one that's seeing a psychiatrist for their mind. It is so sad when people have gotten to the point that they're so high-minded and they're arrogant and can't respect each other as brethren. You know, that's what I loved about, you know, I would wear my clothes that I like. I was judged by the color of my clothes. Can you believe that? The color of my clothes to them dictated my character, who I was as a human being. The decorations, the ornaments that I wore in my ears said that if I was holy enough, she's not holy because she got them earrings on. No matter how small or how big, the holes in my ears, which they believe signify if I was holy enough. God forbid. That's foolishness. People say you try, the Bible says try the spirit with the spirit. If they line up with the word of God, if they are treating you as brothers, if they speak of the faith of the death, burial, and resurrection, if they show you love and respect, that's the most important thing. Even when you see a stranger, give them the good news. Give them the news that Jesus died for them and that he rose so that we can have eternal life. I don't care if the wise men saw him on the sixth day or they saw him in the field. The point is that they saw Jesus. I truly don't care. People say, well, he was born in a house or in the street. The point was he was born. And if I happen to visit you, and you have lights all over your home and stuff like that, but you're talking about the goodness of Jesus. We're talking about the birth of God. I'm not going to look at you and say, you're an idolatrous, because who am I to judge you? Read the Bible for yourself. God, you know what God wants. Do you think he wants you to lay down and bow down to a tree? No, he does not. Do you think he wants you to curse at each other and treat each other bad? No, he does not. Do you think he wants you to talk bad about somebody and judge them based on the color of their skin, their shape, their hair, their eyes, their clothes, their age, their income, where they live, and all this ridiculousness? No, he does not. God said treat somebody as you want to be treated. Speak to somebody the way you want to be spoken to. Show love to one another. In the Western culture, for those who hear me all over the United States, take that food basket, take those gifts to those children and those orphans, those who can't afford to get them some winter coats, those who can't afford to have a meal on their table during this holiday time that we celebrate. Remember them all over this world, all over this nation. Send your donations to the American Red Cross. Send your donation to the foreign nations that the little children would like to have bread or meal of rice. Hey, hallelujah. That's what's important, not the logistics or the debatable issues about the word. The word itself that he died for me, that's what's important. If I come to your house, I hope that I can show you the love, respect as a good human being, as a Christian, as a disciple of God, that I could be welcome in your home and break bread and have prayer and talk about the goodness of Jesus. That's what's important to me. So I want to encourage you all over the world. You're going to meet people that want to be debatable, that want to downplay everything that they believe will take you to hell. It's one thing going to take you to hell, the most important thing. If you have not accepted that Jesus died, that he is the Son of God, that he is God in flesh, that he walked this earth over 2,000 years ago to give you a better way, and that when he suffered and when he was beaten and he hung on a cross, and we don't care if they say the arms were out, it wasn't a cross, it was this or that, but when he died on that cross, that was for you, for me, that I could live today 2,000 years later to have a breath, to breathe, and wake up in the Lamb Book of Life and to hear about this God that has created me from dust, breathe breath in my body, and since the very beginning of time have walked with me from the Old Testament to the New. Good God Almighty, that's what's important. And now that he was able to not only die for us, to take those keys from hell, can you imagine that a discussion is, well, was the keys gold or was they silver? Or was it made out of wood? Was it made out of brass? You will miss the most important thing if you worry about the logistics, if you worry about that particular conversation. What's important is that Jesus captured death. He was able to gather souls and those that did not have a chance to have that eternal life, and that he sits now on the right hand of the Father and say, I'm in charge of heaven and hell, that I have the keys. I'm not going to debate the small things. I don't care logistically. I don't even care what it said, Martin Luther, or took it all the way down. As they said, they started with the fig before it became a fig tree and before it came a dogwood tree. That's not important. The important part that Christ was born, the important part that he died for us, and he was recognized by those who had enough sense to know what to recognize. And if I choose to believe that the cloth that represented him when he was born as a little baby in a manger, that when he died, he was wrapped again in a cloth and put in a tomb, that's my belief. If I believe that the myrrh that they gave him and rubbed him down, the oil, the embalming fluid, that special oil that they rubbed on him as a baby, that when he died, they took that same myrrh and rubbed on him and embalmed him in death. Come on now. And they had them frankincense that they used when of his birth, and that when he died, they burned it in the tomb. When you look at this, it's most important that there's a comparison or correlation that God is showing us what is important that is symbolic. The part is that you love God. So when you see the preachers on the radio and the TV, those that want to glorify him, those who just want to preach Jesus, but when you look at the other ones who want to debate on the logistics, on the factual data, that they wasn't even there, and they give it their whole heart, and so you would believe that they wrote that stuff 2,000 years ago. You come to your own truth. The truth is that we're alive today because of Christ. The truth is I'm on this radio preaching Jesus because I want someone to know that they're special, that they are Christ's beloved. I want someone to know that he died for you. Hey, hallelujah. I want you to know that you're special enough that God has made it possible through technology, through radio, through TV, internet, satellite, that gospel shall be preached. People lose their lives behind it, but they said, for God I live, for God I die. Wake up today. If you have a church to go to, a church, please go and give God the praise. Give your offering, your tithes, show love, give a hug. Treat somebody the way you want to be treated. If this all you have, the radio, then guess what? Listen to us each day of the week we are now, as well as on the weekend, we come to preach Jesus. Hey, hallelujah. I don't know about you. I've been so blessed to hit all denominations. And believe it or not, my ordinations that I have been ordained in the Baptist faith, apostolic faith, Pentecostal faith, all the way down, different denomination. That's what my ordinations or certificates are in. It doesn't say anything big. The factual data is not important. What it means is that I was welcome to all those organizations and to break bread, and I understood to be humble and to show respect. I would never say you crazy, out your mind, or disrespect you. Who am I to judge you? I don't have a heaven or hell. I'm not the authoritarian on the word. And, you know, and I'm going to say this to you, and I'm not trying to be vain. A lot of people wonder, how do I get blessed like I am? Do you think I go around the world, get invitations to go around the world, to be invited to go on TV and radio, because I'm such authoritarian or logistic, or I can debate a word? You know what it's from? Loving God, being humble, want to be of service, and I'm about my Father's business. I don't get into all that other stuff. I'm not worried about, I heard one man say, they not really shouting because I know how people shout. I know the hop that they do. Can you believe that? Somebody who praised God, worrying about if it's authentic because of how you shout, how you shout on one leg or one foot. I'm all tongue-tied. I get emotional. Can you believe that your salvation is judged on how you shout to God? Not that you're shouting. That's the important part. The focal point is he's praising God. Poor David wouldn't have had a chance. If he was shouting and lost all his clothes, they would have said that it was heaven. It was not for heaven, that it was the Antichrist or anything they would have said. He wouldn't have had a chance to say, I'm praising God and my clothes fell off. You know, I even think about if Jesus come back now, oh, my God, if he don't come back and crack open the sky as a savior, but if he try to walk again among us, all the ridicule and criticism, look at the color of his skin. Look at his hair. Is it long? Is it short? Do he look like those pictures? Is he black? Is he white? Look at that. Do he look like he from over in the Middle East? Can you imagine? If he don't crack open the sky and come as Jesus, if he try to come back and walk among us, all of this prejudice, all of this ridicule, all this logistic, all this comparison, factual data, oh, my Lord, all of us will be in trouble and in contempt of the body of Christ, that we will be judged according to the word. I believe, now look at this, this just dropped in my spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. As they say, have mercy, God. Lord, have mercy. This just dropped in my spirit. That was one of the concerns that God had on the day of Pentecost. Isn't it strange that the Holy Ghost did not just go into the room and deal with his disciples right then and there? You know why? Because it dropped in my spirit, the factual, the logistic, the debatable. Can you imagine they was all gathered together? What do you think they was talking about? What are we going to eat today? They was dealing with the law, and I'm sure there was some debates. God wasn't worried about that. He wanted somebody that was looking for him, a lady named Mary on the road. Have you seen Jesus? Have you seen my Lord? Do you know where Jesus is? Her focus was right. She wasn't in upper room debating. She wasn't dealing with logistics. She wasn't saying, was it a tree or was it a manger? Was it an inn or was it a tavern? She wasn't worried about that. She was looking for Jesus. He came to her. God comes to those that's looking for him to the point that they love him, that they forget about themselves. You know, don't let this other stuff have you to miss God. Miss God to the point that he could do more for your life, more for your ministry, and give you more opportunities. But if you become as the Pharisees and the scribes, if you become to the point that you are so logistics and factual that you miss the move of God, you did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. Be careful how you treat people. They could be an angel in disguise. So I'm riled up today. I want to say Merry Christmas and happy to those all over the world that we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but Christ was born. I want to say happy birthday, Jesus. Whenever you was born, happy birthday to my Father. I thank you for being born. I thank you for dying on that cross and sitting on the right hand of the Father. And yes, my house will have lights up to heaven to say good morning, Jesus, or Merry Christmas, or whatever you want to say. Happy New Year's. I love the Lord. That's all I want to say to you. So God bless you. Remember the Sabbath. Keep it holy. Read the Bible so you can learn the laws for yourself. Get into the Word so you can be taught what thus say the Lord of hosts. And do me a favor. And I say this all the time. Don't be concerned about me and how I present my broadcast or my presentation. My Lord have mercy, or God have mercy, or help me, Holy Ghost. Don't worry about my little colloquial terms that I use. Don't worry about that. That's not important. That's the way that I speak. That's the way that God has given it to me. And that's how I'm trying to give it to you. So I'm just saying that I have my own style of how I present the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be your own self. You don't have to mimic me. You don't have to copy me. You don't have to worry about how I pronounce or announce my words. What you need to know that God is God all by himself, and he don't need you to try to be that great authority or that word, or as some of them preachers that I see, that you got the final say. You know God for yourself. When he made you breathe breath in your body, that God is God alone. God bless you. You're listening to the Fivefold Ministry broadcast. Respect others the way you want to be respected. Respect the Lord and obey his word. Happy holidays to you. Enjoy family and loved ones, because truly over the last 2 years we have been through something, but God have brought us through. You know why? Because he God alone. Let us listen to Marvin Sapp, and God bless you. Amen.
There's no question of your greatness, no searching of your power. Oh, the wonder of your glory. To you 40 years, it's but 1 hour. Your knowledge is all encompassing. To your wisdom, there is no end. For you alone are God. You are God alone. Your mercy is everlasting. Your truth is here always. He who was and is to come. Who is he that can number your days? He flung the sun to burn his face, and the night moon found the light from day. You're called.
Yes, for he alone is God, and we love him so, that he is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. And Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus is our Savior. We thank God for the Father, Son, and his Holy Ghost. We thank him that give us guidance and spiritual truth. The most important thing that you should be concerned about is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. All of this other stuff is not really important. If anything that's going to be contrary to the word of God and the faith, then check yourself and do what God wants you to do, which is to show love one to one another and to treat people the way that you want to be treated. God bless you until next time. You've been listening to the Fivefold Ministry Broadcast. I'm your host, Apostle Margie Mercer. Amen.